So this evening, we're going to continue in our series looking at Jesus, the Messiah. We began in the Torah, then into the prophets, and now in the writings. From Genesis right through to Revelation, everything points us to Jesus. Jesus said in John 5:39, "These are the scriptures that testify about me." Every story, every symbol, every sacrifice ultimately leads us to Jesus. And Psalm 16 is no different tonight. In it, David declares, "In you, God, I take refuge." God is his refuge. God is his treasure. God is his guide. And God is his hope. Now, before we turn back to our text, have it open if you've got it already. Let me just share a quick story with you, if I may. A few years ago, during a bad storm, there was a family watched from the window. And as they stared out, the trees at the back of their garden were bent in half. Branches had snapped, the fence had toppled over as the wind howled violently. But right in the middle of their garden stood an old oak tree. Although the oak tree was being battered around, it remained unmoved. The next morning, the father walked into the garden to inspect the damage. Everything around the oak tree was devastated, but the tree stood firm. And why is this? Well, because its roots went deep. Far deeper than anyone could see. The storm, it shook everything on the surface, but didn't touch the underneath. The oak tree stood firm because the deep roots created like an unshakable core. Well, Psalm 16 is David's declaration that he too has an unshakable core. You know, life may be hard, circumstances may test him, enemies may try threaten him, folks, death itself may look over him, but David says, "I shall not be shaken." And the truth of this psalm is that David's confidence is not rooted in himself, it's rooted in the Lord and ultimately in the risen Jesus Christ. But before David speaks of future hope, he speaks of present confidence. I guess you could say Psalm 16 verses 1 through to 7 is the root system beneath the oak tree. Make no mistake, it's the hidden depth that explains the visible strength. It's the quiet, unseen walk with God that makes the future hope possible. So turn back with me to our text and our first point this evening. Please don't feel shortchanged. You've just got 2 points tonight, but you got 4 this morning. That makes 6 in my book. So here we go. Present confidence. Look at verses 1 through to 7. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me." So in these first verses, David gives us the present reasons for his confidence. He shows us why we can stand firm, because you see, he speaks about his future hope. Folks, David's strength is not by chance, it's been built over time. It comes from a heart that is fixed on God. David begins with dependence. "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. You know, his first instinct is not to rely on himself, but to rely and depend on God. Refuge is found in God alone. And confidence begins with humble dependence. And from dependence, David moves to devotion. Look closely there at verse 2. It reads, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. You know, his focus is only on God. He's not looking to God and something else. He's not dividing his hope between heaven and earth. He's saying, everything good in my life comes from you. You are the source of all joy. And present confidence grows when God is seen as the one true good. David's confidence is also strengthened, by God's people. Look there at verse 3, is the saints in the land, they're the excellent ones in whom is my delight. He delights in the faithful. He finds friendship, joy, and encouragement with them. Folks, this is the truth. Confidence often grows in community and it weakens in isolation. David's present stability is tied to his fellowship with the saints. And at the same time, his confidence is protected by rejecting idols. Verse 4 reads, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. You know, we're back on the subject of idols again. We saw this the other week when we were in Acts 19 together. David had the same view as Paul did. There is only one true and living God. And David looked at these idol chasers and saw the outcome. What was it? Sorrow multiplied. So what does he do? Well, he refuses their God. He refuses their rituals. He ignores their worldview and their path. He won't even speak the names of their gods. He won't be persuaded by them. His confidence is guarded because he refuses counterfeit hopes. If we're to have present confidence, a confidence like David, then we're required to have a clean break from false gods, from idols that we chase. David then celebrates God as his portion in verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. And within this verse, David uses inheritance language, portion, cup, and loss. And in verse 6, he speaks about pleasant places like Clay Cross and a beautiful inheritance. In essence, David is saying, God is my treasure and my satisfaction. He is the one who holds my future and has given me a beautiful inheritance. Folks, to be clear, this is not about land. It's about the Lord himself. Confidence flows from knowing that God himself is enough. Lastly, just in this first section, David's confidence is guided by God's counsel. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. David is not only protected by God, he is guided by God. God counsels him. God shapes his thinking. God teaches him in the quiet moments, in the night. This is the daily, ongoing experience of a believer who walks closely with God. Present confidence grows when God's voice shapes the inner life. And David's present confidence in Psalm 16, verses 1 through to 7, is rich, deep, and strikingly personal. He trusts God as his refuge, his only good, his portion, his counselor. Folks, make no mistake, his feet are steady. Why? because his heart is anchored in God. I didn't feel like I could ignore those first seven wonderful verses. But as we move into verse 8, we see that something remarkable happens. David's language begins to stretch beyond anything he's ever experienced. The psalm now lifts its eyes from David's present confidence to a future hope. And this future hope reaches far beyond his own lifetime. And let's look at this future hope in our second final point tonight. Look there at verses 8 through to 11. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now David continues to speak in the first person, but what he says can't apply to him. He describes a deliverance from death and preservation from decay. So why is David speaking about? Who is David speaking about here? Well, it's the New Testament that can help us. Peter and Paul both tell us that David was not talking about himself anymore. Instead, they tell us that he's speaking prophetically about Jesus, the Messiah. Folks, the New Testament makes this unmistakably clear. If you would. I tell you, these glasses, I can see the words, but they're definitely not helping me pronunciation at all. I tell you. Folks, the New Testament makes this unmistakably clear. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. There we are, Acts 2. Turn with me to it. Page 900 and 1000 or whatever Gaz was talking this morning. Page 907 or 8 or 9, somewhere there. Acts 2 verses 20. Would it help if I told you the verses as well? 25 to 31. Let me read them. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. Here's that verse again. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in him. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. In verse 31 there of Acts 2, Paul tells us that David was looking ahead to the coming Messiah. He spoke about the resurrection of Christ. He spoke about not being abandoned. David wasn't describing his own experience in these closing verses of Psalm 16. He was prophesying. Peter even called David a prophet there in verse 30. Folks, Psalm 16 becomes one of the foundational texts used to preach Christ. And Paul picks up this same psalm in Acts 13. Turn with me to Acts 13, if you would, verses 35 to 39. Therefore, he says, also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Preaching in the synagogue at Poseidon Antioch, Paul explains Israel's history. He walks the congregation through the Exodus all the way to the death of Jesus. And when he shows that Jesus' resurrection fulfills Scripture by quoting Psalm 16. The quote is found there in verse 35. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. Paul reasons with them. David died, David was buried, and David's body decayed. But this quote is not about David. David saw corruption. This is not about him. The quote is about Jesus, raised by God. He is the one who did not see corruption. This is Paul's first, major proof that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the risen Messiah. And because he's Messiah, forgiveness of sins is now offered to all who believe. And Paul uses the same psalm in Acts 2, but he develops that argument even further. He declares that God raised Jesus from the dead, and his evidence is Psalm 16, verses 8 through to 11. Peter says plainly that David was speaking about Christ. Jesus will not be shaken because the Father was always before him. And this is actually reinforced in Psalm 22. However, I'm going to leave that to Phil and next week. Folks, Jesus was never abandoned by the Father on the cross. He was there. This is why he rejoices. This is why he's glad. This is why he can feel secure. God will not abandon him. Psalm 16 verse 10 and Acts 2 27 both say the same thing. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You will not abandon my soul to Hades. Sheol is the Hebrew, Hades is the Greek. Both refer to the realm of the dead. David is saying that Christ will not stay there, nor will his body experience decay. And Peter presses that point further in verse 29 of Acts 2. Let me just read that verse to you again. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. David is dead. David is buried. His tomb is still with us to this day. So David must have been speaking about the one who would sit on his throne. But you know, Peter doesn't stop there. He provides further evidence that Jesus is the one. Firstly, the apostles themselves, they were eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. They saw him arrested, they saw him die, and they saw him alive again. Secondly, the crowd witnessed with their own eyes Jesus ascend to heaven. He ascended up to the right hand of God and poured out the Holy Spirit. Folks, you know that the conclusion is unavoidable. Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. And the resurrection of Jesus is central to our faith. The apostles treated it as essential for every believer. Make no mistake, Jesus rose from the dead. He is Lord. But we should not be surprised that he rose, because David told us he would. Thousands of years earlier, David told us that Christ would be resurrected. The apostles saw him alive, and the miracles they performed were evidence. Further evidence that Jesus is truly alive and lives with us. Psalm 16 doesn't only give us confidence about Christ's resurrection, it gives us confidence about our own future as well. The reason we'll not be shaken is because Jesus rose. His resurrection is the guarantee that God will preserve us. Just as God kept his promise to his son, he will keep his promises to us. You know, the writer of Hebrews makes this exact point in Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read the verses. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. You know, the promised one will come. The righteous will live by faith. And for those who don't shrink back, their souls will be preserved. You know, our bodies may decay, but our souls will be preserved by God if we walk by faith. He raised Jesus from the dead just as he said he would. And he will preserve our souls exactly as he has promised. Jesus faced death. He knew the suffering and the shame that awaited him. He knew that he would die at the hands of wicked men, yet he could still say, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. And why can he say this? Because he knew the Father would never abandon him. And this is our hope as well. Because Christ rose, will not be shaken. Because Christ lives, God will not forsake us. So look, as we draw to a close this evening, what can we learn from Psalm 16? Well, in the first seven verses, David began by showing us his present confidence, a life anchored in God, shaped by God, satisfied in God, guided by God. His feet are steady. Why? Because his heart is rooted in the Lord. But in verses 8 through to 11, David points out to us something greater and superior. He looks beyond his present confidence to a future hope found in the Lord Jesus Christ. David could not fulfill his own words. He died, he was buried, his body decayed. His body saw corruption. But Jesus, David's greatest son, did not. God raised him from the dead, just as David foresaw 1,000 years earlier. You know, Peter and Paul both stand on this psalm and boldly declare, this is about Christ. He's the Holy One who did not see decay. Death could not defeat him. He is the risen Lord. He is the Messiah. And because he lives, we have hope. Make no mistake, the resurrection of Jesus is not an optional extra. It is central to our faith. It's the anchor of our confidence. It's the guarantee that God will preserve our souls. Just as the Father did not abandon his son to the grave, he will not abandon those who belong to his son. Folks, you know, our bodies will decay, but our souls are safe in his hands. Be rest assured, our circumstances may shake, but you know, our future is secure. And that is why the writer to the Hebrews says, do not throw away your confidence. We are not to be those who shrink back. We are those who believe. And because we believe, our souls are preserved by God. So let your hearts be glad. Let your whole being rejoice. Christ has gone before you. Christ has conquered death for you. Christ stands at the right hand of the Father for you. And because he lives, you will live also. You will face tomorrow. Psalm 16 ends with a promise for every believer. Look there at verse 11, if you've got turned back to it. But verse 11 reads, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is your future. This is your inheritance. This is your hope. Stand firm. Do not be shaken. Your confidence is not in yourself. It's in the risen Christ. Amen.